KKFI.org.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program. And welcome to Radioactive Magazine. And as if you've been listening today at all, you know that this is during our pledge drive. You know, I love music. I really do. I grew up listening to country and rock and roll, played in a couple of bands. And if you're a listener of KKFI, you know, we play a lot of music and we also do a lot of public affairs programs. And, you know, it's a lot easier to donate to those music shows because they get your feet tapping, they get your soul to singing. We think it's also important that you do show your support for programs like Radioactive Magazine, because what we like to do is keep you informed of the issues of the day, especially in these days when there is so much going on out there in the world. And just to let you know, during the next 30 minutes, we have a challenge for you to call in and donate to Radioactive Magazine, because we have a champion who is going to match everybody who calls in up to the first $100. So we want you to call in, give us a call, show your support for Radioactive Magazine, show your support for the public affairs side of the house, because it's important that we keep that on the air as well. We love our music shows, but we also need the support for the programs like Radioactive, which is a locally produced show. Today we're going to have an interview with the person from Kansas who does lobbying for the Sierra Club. Now, you don't find that kind of information anywhere else. So if you want to show your support for KKFI, show your support for Radioactive Magazine, give us a call right now at 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org if you want to go online. But if you call in now during the next 30 minutes, your money will be matched, and we would really love for you to show you that you do support the public affairs side of the house as well. It's great to support the music, but it's also, we believe in the holistic approach at KKFI, the heart as well as the head as well as the soul. So call in, show your support for Radioactive Magazine. Right now, we're going to get started with the interview. David Mitchell is your host, and we'll join you here in about 10 or 15 minutes and give you another chance to call in. Keep in mind, there's a lot of really great thank you gifts. Remember those when you call in, and show your support for Radioactive Magazine by giving us a call at 816-888-931-0901. Give us a call right now.
Radioactive Magazine on KKFI 90.1 FM with this week's host, Dave Mitchell. Today we'll be talking with Zach Pistora, who is a lobbyist for the Kansas Sierra Club. Zach does quite a bit of work with the Kansas Legislature in Topeka, and we will be discussing recent and ongoing developments related to the Kansas energy sector. Both Zach and I are volunteers with the Climate Action KC Policy Committee, and I made his acquaintance in the January 2020 meeting of this group. When I found out he was the Sierra Club lobbyist at the Kansas Legislature, I invited him to be on Radioactive Magazine today to talk about energy. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me, Dave.
All right, thank you very much. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became involved in environmental work?
Sure, yeah. I started getting involved in thinking about how our government can do as best it can for its people, and I thought environment was a good common issue for all of us, that we all need clean air and clean water, and that if I was going to work on policy to help future of society, why not start with the environmental policy?
Yeah, you said I think you had an interest in policy from a very young age. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've gotten involved in debate at the high school level and started thinking about how we could use policy to help people's lives.
Okay, that's great. That's great. You are from Tonganoxie, Kansas, right?
Yep.
And you have a farming background.
Yep.
Okay. And you're a graduate of K-State.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and I went from being born in Lawrence over to Manhattan and going to school at K-State, and I was born the night that KU won the national championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that.
In Lawrence. And so they wouldn't let me sit the bench for the Jayhawks and the basketball team, so I said, well, I'll just take the scholarship money to go to K-State.
Oh, okay. All right. You have an interesting story about how you got your job, as at least it was interesting to me. Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. I really got to thank my mom for not only bringing me into this world here, but also for helping me bring me to this job that I'm currently at. She cut the ad out of the paper for environmental lobbyist for Sierra Club. And I said, you know, it seems to me, being a recent graduate, not necessarily being a lawyer like many lobbyists are, that it'd be a long shot. But I told the hiring committee that as a young person, 22 at the time, the youngest generation of those after have the most to gain or to lose as far as the consequences of the environment. Uh-huh. And so I had to work harder than anyone else. So I really give a lot of credit to my mom cutting that out of the paper, but also to the hiring committee giving me a chance to work on behalf of the environment, to lobby, and then also to represent a young generation in trying to get what we think would be a better future.
Okay. Well, that's great. So that was with the Kansas Sierra Club, right?
Correct.
I think that's a great story.
Yeah, we're the Sierra Club generally is one of the oldest and largest grassroots environmental organization across the country with 3 million members. And in Kansas, we've been around for 40 years as a local chapter.
Oh, okay. Great. Great, that's good. And you've been a Sierra Club lobbyist now for 9 years.
Yes.
Right? Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And, still a lot more work to do, Dave.
Oh, hey, this is a marathon.
Yes.
This whole environmental issue is a ultra marathon. Speaking of which, the one thing I wanted to talk about is that there was a very recent announcement about the Holcomb plant in southwest Kansas. There's a very large coal plant there from the 1980s. And in the early 2000s, there was all sorts of talk about expanding it. And then 14 years ago, investors and other utilities came together and they wanted to do like a Holcomb 2 plant that would produce 895 megawatts of power. And then the Sierra Club was fought that tooth and nail and with some legal challenges in the halls of the Kansas legislature, and I'm assuming you were involved with that to some extent. And you want to tell us about the announcement that was made just in the last week or two?
Yeah, really exciting news, and an issue we've been working on for a long time, as you alluded to. It's just great to hear that the cooperative out there, Sunflower, wanted to finally close the chapter on this coal plant proposal. Just didn't make any sense as far as economically these days with the cost of coal, but still didn't make any sense environmentally. We've been saying that for a long while. So to get that news is good. It doesn't come as a big surprise because I think the writing is on the wall that coal isn't going to be the energy source for the 21st century. We're glad to hear all that.
Yeah, I was real pleased to hear that, and that was a 14-year saga, and the investment partners, Tri-State and the Transmission Association, they gave it up in terms of pushing for it. And was it their recognition that wind and solar is sort of the coming wave of the future, and that coal was just not gonna cost out in terms of being cost effective? Or
yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what happened.
Yes, okay. The local cooperative Sunflower already been moving in the direction of wind and solar.
Oh, they have.
Prior. Oh, yeah. Okay. And Tri-State, the investor, have been working on energy and not just Kansas, but elsewhere, saw in other states they were already positioning to move toward renewable future. And so, yeah, just didn't add up.
Okay.
To make a new coal plant.
And that coal plant was one of the last proposed coal plants to be built in the U.S., is that correct?
That is my understanding that, it was one of the relatively newest proposals for a coal plant across the country.
Okay.
And still 14 years, you know, in the process, there hasn't been a new coal plant built across the country. So this is in line with what's happening across America.
Well, that's a big deal. That's right. A big deal. So the moral of the story is perseverance on the right side of history. In terms of the overall energy portfolio of Kansas, I mean, I know you and I talked, and there's a lot of wind in Kansas. You want to tell us about the percents of how much wind there is and along
sure.
with the other.
Yeah, the
sources.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty neat time, I think, in Kansas history, in that renewables, the use of wind specifically. Now, let me say that Kansas is the number one state in the country right now as far as a percentage of its power coming from wind generation.
Per capita, right?
But I mean, as far as the percentage of our power that we produce. We produce so many megawatts of power. The percentage of our energy that comes from wind is bigger than any other state. Of course, you know, I guess to your point is that we don't produce as much power as some other states out there, Texas or California, et cetera. But of the percentage that we do produce, of the amount that we do produce, the percentage for wind is the greatest amongst any state.
Okay.
So that's very exciting. Of course, the story I tell is my understanding. Kansas got its name from the Kansa Indians.
Uh-huh.
And as I understand that, the translation is people of the South Wind. So in some ways, it's part of our identity as a state to go to utilize wind and some of the other renewable resources that we have here in Kansas. And to me, that makes a lot more sense than bringing in coal from Wyoming,
right.
Where it's of course, not as beneficial to the environment, but not as beneficial to our economy.
Right, right. And so wind is 36%, right?
It's 36% now, but roughly right now, we just added some new wind farms last year. So, you know, we're roughly, I divided it in about 40% renewables, largely wind, 40% coal, and about 20% nuclear across the state. Now, you know, there's some gas, so, you know, that fluctuates, and that's just on the electric sector.
Oh, okay. Right. Right.
Yeah, so there's that. When you start including the whole energy mix with oil and gas to power cars and et cetera, it changes a little bit. On the electric sector, we're at the point where renewables surpassing coal.
Okay, great.
First time in Kansas history.
And you have a recent announcement from Evergy that I think you'd like to share.
Yeah, it came to my attention just yesterday that our biggest utility in Kansas covers 1 million customers. Of course, those folks here in Kansas City on the Missouri side have Evergy on the Missouri side. Their announcement was trying to forecast what they were going to do for renewable future and carbon. And they announced a goal that they would do 80% carbon reduction from 2005 levels by 2050.
Mm-hmm. That I think that's kind of the standard. I've heard of more than one utility that's aiming that way now. So there's absolutely no question that we're moving in the right direction. And I know environmentalists would like to see that a lot quicker.
You're absolutely right. You know, this goal kind of puts them in the middle of the pack. Yeah. With our unique situation in Kansas, where you know we have the opportunity to transition some of our standing costly coal plants to renewable future, really help it make a difference for the economy of Kansas and bring good jobs to Kansas. We can retire those coal plants, transition to renewable future, including wind, solar, and even energy storage in a matter of 10 years in a kind of everybody wins scenario with some refinancing tools. And there's no reason why we should continue to prolong the use of coal, especially when it's costing. Kansas has high electric rates, and it's costing us millions of dollars to continue to run those coal plants in our state. Versus transitioning that energy to cheaper but also better and eco-friendly energy like renewables, energy efficiency, and storage options. Right. So, and to me, you know, I appreciate the sentiment of having the carbon reduction goal. If you look at the last 15 years, it only took half the time that they're proposing, 30 years to do 80%, half that time to do 40%.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here to remind you that we are during our pledge drive here and that we have somebody who has agreed to match your pledge. If you call in, show your support for public affairs programming. It's really important to us that we support both sides of the house. It's a lot easier to call in and support the music shows, but we need support over here on the Radioactive Magazine side as well. We do a lot of local programming, which means we call in guests from around our community to show that we support the local issues here. And we have a very important guest here who's going to tell us about the champion match that we got going on, Mr. Bill Sundahl.
Well, hello everybody. I am setting a 5-minute timer right now, and so we're going to do a champions match. This champion is thrown down by the board of directors here at KKFI. So the board put a pool of money together to encourage others to give. So the next $100 that comes in during this rest of the show will be matched. So, I mean, I just set a timer so I didn't keep talking forever and ever, I guess, in this particular case. You know, a lot of times we do this as like, you ought to do it right now. But the board wants to, you know, values what you guys do here at Radioactive Magazine.
My wife wish I would use a timer, actually, but
she's not alone.
So, and
I, as a listener, also appreciate Radioactive Magazine. I get a lot of good information that I just wouldn't otherwise know about. And, so thank you guys for doing this. I know it's not an easy thing to do, and I don't want it to be a thankless thing either.
Though your money's getting mashed, you also will get a thank you gift, and I'm going to let Craig talk about the thank you gifts.
All right.
And thank you to the board for their generous match. So if you call in, the gifts that we have available as thank you gifts for a $90 one-time or $750 monthly pledge is a KKFI baseball cap. At $120 level or $10 monthly is a KKFI insulated water bottle. And for $151 at $12.50 monthly is a guest DJ certificate, and that's where you get to come in and pick the music for one of the music shows. And then as an alternative to that, for the same amount, $150 one time at $12.50 monthly, you can get a pair of tickets to the Blues Kitchen Live, which is at BB's on April 25th. And we have 50 pairs total. Bill, do we still have some?
We do still have some. There's about 15 pairs left. So you're going to be in good company with a bunch of KKFI donors.
I want to mention that tote combo package because that really intrigues me. You know, you get the cap, the bottle, and the guest DJ for $20 a month. And that's, a lot of you, listen, if you had $20 taken out of your checking account once a month, you'd never miss it, but you would feel great about the fact that you're supporting KKFI, you're supporting community radio, you help help keep us on the air. You get a cap. You get a water bottle. You get a guest DJ. And those guest DJs are really great things to have if you've got a birthday coming up or you got somebody who's graduating, somebody that loves music. It's really a gift unlike you can get anywhere else. All for just 20 lousy bucks a month. Give us a call right now at 888-931-0901.
Or if they prefer, they can do a one-time $250.
They can.
Get it right out of the way.
Get it out of the way and just, feel good about yourself for knowing that you support KKFI Community Radio.
That's right. And guest DJs, I brought my both of my daughters in here this year, and Diana ran the board for us, and it was so much fun. And I guarantee you they were playing songs that don't normally get played on KKFI. But they had some Kinks in there. Had some Jackie Wilson and Katy Perry. And
okay, they didn't have to use the 7-second delay any, did they?
You know, it was close. It was close. So my Willa, my 7-year-old, told a joke, and she said, why do ducks have feathers?
Why do ducks have feathers?
To cover up their butt quack. And Diana was like, what? Whoa! Anyway,
she wasn't sure. Her hand was hovering over the button.
It sure was. It was a lot of fun. And so, it's something you can do as a family. Valentine's Day, of course, is coming up. And that is, again, a $12.50 a month or a one-time $150. But what you really get is KKFI, that you tune in, and Radioactive Magazine is here for you every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. And that's why I'm a monthly donor myself. And so I appreciate KKFI. And I know
how we doing on that 5 minutes?
We got 47 seconds left.
Listen, get to the phone. Go make a call. Do it now. 888-931-0901. We don't want that $100 to go to waste because you need to call in, donate $100. That way you get to support KKFI by giving $200. And you can just sit back and enjoy the radio broadcasting time of your life here.
That's right. And it doesn't have to all be you. It can be, if it's four $25 donations, whatever it works out to be, whatever you're, whatever you're comfortable with and able to do, then that's huge to us. We appreciate you giving us any part of your treasure.
So. In addition to calling, if you prefer, you can go on our website and donate at kkfi.org.
That's right. And it does get busy during these match times. So if it rolls over to a voicemail, that's my voicemail. I'll call you right back. Just leave a name and phone number.
Thank you. Looks like somebody called in. But that don't mean we couldn't get another call. So give us a call.
Grab the other line.
All right. Wonderful. And, this is one of the only stations you're going to hear not only about climate change, but what's going on with climate change right here in our Kansas City. So here's the rest of the interview.
15 years, we got 40% carbon reduction, and you're saying in the next 30 years we'll get to 80%.
I'm sure that they'll probably get there a whole lot faster than 2050. I'm sure, and which is all good news.
If they're paying attention to their customers, they're paying attention to the high electric rates, if they're paying attention to what their investors are even saying, I think they'll realize that goal is not necessarily a forward-thinking goal.
Yeah. Well, I think it's safe to say that it'll happen a lot faster than that. And this legislative session, you want to tell us about what your goal is for this coming session in Topeka?
Yeah, there's a few great opportunities right now. When we're having a discussion about high electric rates, we're talking about a state energy plan. Governor recently announced.
You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Governor Laura Kelly just announced that she wanted to pull the Kansas Energy Office out of our currently housed in our regulatory agency, the Kansas Corporation Commission, and pulled it out to be an independent entity and give it the staff that I think she realizes that it deserves. Currently, it has less than one full-time equivalent.
Well, that's basically nothing.
Right.
And so basically, the function of pulling that office out of the Kansas Corporation Commission, how much are they going to staff it, and what will they be doing independently?
Yeah, it's my understanding that they'll have enough funding that they get from the federal government allotted every year to four state energy offices across the country to provide enough funding for about three full-time staff.
Okay.
And I understand that this would be good for convening stakeholders to proactively work on energy issues like attracting some of that renewable development in the state, as well as providing for maybe an energy efficiency program that help save Kansas electric payers some money on their bill.
Okay.
And so getting to your question about legislative session, we can build on that momentum. We also have a big rate study report, a 323-page report that kind of gives them some guidance about ways we can lower rates. And that can include bringing some energy efficiency programs to Kansas. Those on the Missouri side realize that they're paying on their bill, they're paying for energy efficiency programs, and maybe some of you are benefiting from those programs. But on the Kansas side, we don't get that same benefit. So we're hoping that we can bring some of those programs into Kansas, help save people money, save energy. And then, of course, the cheapest energy is the energy we don't use, the energy we save. And so that should help bring down electric rates in the long run.
Right. Well, I think, that report you referred to is the London Economics Report, and that was authorized by the legislature in overwhelmingly bipartisan vote to have that study done. And one of their main recommendations was to develop a state energy plan. So it looks like Governor Kelly is going in the right direction in terms of trying to get that done with this separating out the office. The energy office, is that it?
Yes.
And then expanding the staff, and so that's like a first step in developing a state energy plan. My understanding also is that Kansas is one of only eight states that does not have an energy plan, and that's a very important thing for states to do so that they kind of know where they're going. And I think the and one thing they were talking about, one of their recommendations from the London Economics Report was to allow utilities to restructure their old debt. You want to talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, that's also a very hot topic right now in the legislature. I think many legislators have expressed their disappointment that Kansas has higher electric rates than any of our surrounding states. And this concept, I call it utility asset refinancing, restructuring of this old debt by using ratepayer-backed bonds, a lower interest type of bonding financing, so we can help kind of expedite this transition. So ratepayers, in other words, aren't on the hook for these expensive coal plants and the more expensive environmental retrofits for years to come for the lifetime of that plant. Instead, we can refinance that debt, transition it to, one, bring down rates, but also allow the utility to take some of those savings and invest it into cheaper energy. Better for the environment.
Like wind.
Like wind, like solar opportunities, like energy storage.
Efficiency.
Yeah, energy efficiency, things that'll help in the long term keep rates down and provide the reliable energy that Kansas and its customers depend on without sacrificing their wallets.
Okay, I want to thank our guest for that program. What was his name again?
Zach Pastora.
Zach Pastora, who is a lobbyist for the Sierra Club in Kansas. I want to thank David Mitchell for that interview, and I want to thank John Latta and.